You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Thursday, March 6th. As of today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk here in Wisconsin, $3.18, the same as yesterday. The average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $6.24, also the same as yesterday.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
We're going to have a really, really busy show for you today. Coming up at 10:33, our friend and colleague from Amicus, a law review, which you can listen to Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. Jim Santel will be here. Donald Trump just suffered a loss at the hands of the Supreme Court.
Yes, and with an interesting player.
Very interesting player. Jim will be talking with us about that, among a whole bunch of other things. That would be words. Legal-wise, yeah. Because we are not lawyers. That's why we bring experts on, like people who are actual lawyers. After the 11 o'clock news, Dr. Calico Schmidt is a veterinarian with the UW-Madison Veterinary Medicine Group, and I've been wanting to do this for a while. I saw an article about a month ago about dogs getting Alzheimer's. And this relates to my sister and I both had dogs that got into what Barkley was 14.
Yeah.
And I think Nina made it to like 16. Mm-hmm. But at one point, her little dog would stand in the corner and she would just stare at the wall. I know it breaks your heart because they can't tell you what's wrong. But if you're a pet owner and if you have questions for Dr. Schmidt, please email those in,
please,
send
yes,
those in.
Yes.
You can do that right now at 855-752-4842. Dr. Calico Schmidt. Joining us after the 11 o'clock news, then a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Mm-hmm. Boy, did they get creamed up north.
Yes.
If you're in Hayward or Bayfield or I think she mentioned Butternut this morning. I love that town.
I just can't believe there's a place in Wisconsin. Oh, I'm from Butternut.
Butternut. It makes me so happy that there's a Butternut, Wisconsin. So, but then we have a big warm up coming. So
yeah.
Brittany Merlot will be joining us at 11:20. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company, their sports guru, will join us at 11:33. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the All Things Must Pass, Eventually edition.
Ow.
Stay tuned for that. Did want to start off, though. This is not good news. Betrayed veterans from the Daily Beast rage over Trump's sweeping VA cuts. Nearly 83,000 Veterans Affairs employees are now facing the axe in the name of efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And we did reference this briefly yesterday. We didn't actually play the clip from a Donald Trump lackey.
Ms. Haba.
Alina Haba had this to say about Americans veterans. Calvin, can you play that clip, please?
Well, as you know, we care about veterans tremendously. I mean, that's something the president has always cared about. Anybody in blue, anybody that serves this country.
Set the Capitol, please.
But at the same time, we have taxpayer dollars. We have a fiscal responsibility to use taxpayer dollars to pay people that actually work. That doesn't mean that we forget our veterans by any means. We are going to care for them in the right way, but perhaps they're not fit to have a job at this moment or not willing to come to work. And we can't, you know, I wouldn't take money from you and pay somebody and say, sorry, you know, they're not going to come to work. It's just not acceptable.
That last part makes no sense. I've listened to that last part maybe like 10 times.
First of all, we're going to take care of veterans in the right way. I'd love more details about what that means.
Also, we support anyone in blue,
except
you just said.
Except the Capitol Police.
Which they're nothing.
No. And there is a plaque that is supposed to be put up in the House of Representatives honoring the Capitol Police.
Yep.
Who protected our lawmakers on January 6th as that attack was happening at the Capitol. Yeah, that plaque still hasn't been mounted because they can't decide whether or not they actually support the Capitol Police, apparently.
Well, there are people who actually say no police died that day. You're very incorrect. You're very correct. Nobody died that day. But because they died a day later, a week later, that's totally different. It had nothing to do with January 6th. It was all Biden's fault.
So, Alina Haba, if you were a veteran, mm-hmm. and I would love to hear from you, how does that make you feel when you hear Alina Haba say something like that? Maybe you're not fit to have a job right now.
You're just too lazy. You don't want to come in.
You don't want to come in and go to work.
And that was the other thing, too. People who don't want to come in, this underlying low-rent targeting of remote work. We're seeing it in Madison with Robin Voss. He makes a big old deal about it when it's not a big deal. In fact, reports have shown efficiency goes up, productivity goes up when you allow people to work remotely. But this whole attack on remote work, work from home, that's not the proper road to use when crapping over the vets was what she is doing, calling them lazy.
Essentially, a memo leaked yesterday revealed that the VA, in partnership with Elon Musk's Doge, will return to 2019 staffing levels. The goal is to return to those levels, even though the PACT Act in 2022 expanded VA health care and disability benefits to cover millions more veterans who had been exposed to burn pits and other toxic substances. Mm-hmm. The VA was contacted for comment from the Daily Beast. No response.
Because the person who answers that phone got fired, probably.
Senator Tammy Duckworth, who's a Democrat of Illinois and also a veteran of mm-hmm. the Iraq War, put this on Twitter. Mark my word, this is the Republicans' plan all along. Gut the VA, then push to privatize the department so they can fund tax cuts for billionaires, and our heroes will pay the price. Vote Vets, which is a group that I follow on Twitter. I encourage you to do that. Vote Vets is a group that encourages veterans to run for office. They call the plan infuriating. If you are a veteran or the spouse of a veteran or the daughter or son of a veteran, I would love to know how you feel about this. When you hear Alina Haba in Trump's inner circle saying, well, we're going to take care of vets the right way, but maybe they don't deserve to have a job right now.
Well, Cassandra on the live stream is very frank about it. She says, my dad was a vet and couldn't work because of his military service. With respect, she can shove it.
Thank you, Cassandra. Brief, concise, and to the point.
And FCC compliance.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
The proposed layoffs at the VA will deliver a 1-2 punch where veterans are being laid off at the same time that it becomes more difficult for other veterans to get care. This is just going to be an ongoing cycle of pain.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we were told to expect for 2 years. And also, this is just the VA. I mean, the executive order on the Department of Education, they are going to gut anything they don't find necessary. And it's the Republicans. They don't find anything in the federal government necessary. They're going to do what they've been trying to do for decades, which is make it so small it's incapable of working and sell it off to the highest bidders.
I saw yesterday reports, of course, and we had talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Donald Trump now talking about privatizing the United States Postal Service and privatizing Amtrak.
Mm-hmm.
And is it the greatest idea to put everything in the hands of private individuals like Elon? Is that the answer to all of our problems?
Nope. And I will once again give a very brief example of this theory. In Racine, back in the 2000s, they wanted to privatize their garbage pickup. They went and looked at different groups to do it. They found out that not only were they going to pay more in a year for private garbage pickup versus having it be a public service, they were also going to not be able to be, they were not going to be able to provide customer service of the same quality because it's a private business. So the city can give certain guarantees, but when it's privatized, that's up to them. Then you're on your own.
Well, and when we talked about the Postal Service has to deliver to inconvenient areas.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of their mandate. They have to deliver your mail.
Yes.
A private company isn't going to have to do that.
No, they can change their mind and be like,
you have to come here to get your mail.
We're giving you complimentary P.O. boxes.
855-752-4842. If you would like to join the show, talking about Alina Haba in Trump's inner circle stating yesterday that Maybe our vets don't deserve, you know, a job.
No, because I don't even like saying it because, like, the idea of, like, her calling them lazy. And she didn't say lazy, but that is the takeaway.
Well, that's the inference. They don't want to come into work.
Exactly.
You don't want to come into work. Yeah. Al from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Al. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. I am a Vietnam veteran, wounded 6 times. My grandfather was in the Army. My mother was in the Army. My father was in the Navy. My sister was in the Army. I have 2 sons who were Marines, and 3 uncles who were in the Army. We came home and got cut off from everything, no matter what. You go to other countries, the veterans are given free housing. They're given food for the rest of their lives, and they come to them for advice about how to approach other issues dealing with war or what have you. In this country, you get kicked to the curb. And when I was vice president of the Center for Veterans Issues in Milwaukee, a black-funded, founded organization, which has been taken over by all white men, we did a research on the VA. And the VA, after Vietnam, showed us that only 1/3 of all of the veterans in this country get services through the VA. But the VA has one of the largest budgets in our government. And we could not find in our research any place that they audited the VA's budget.
So, Al, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're coming up against the break. So do you feel that these cuts are a good thing?
Definitely not. These people earned what they were getting, and they actually are owed more.
Mm.
And these people, all of this is about money. It's not about the people or service to a country. It's about Trump and that idiot from South Africa gathering as much money in this government as possible so they can go do something else with it.
Yep. Thank you so much, Al, and thank you and your family for your decades of service. Seriously, we mean that.
Yes.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our friend and colleague Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays across the network from 9 to 11. Jim's going to be joining us after the 10:30 news. Donald Trump actually lost a case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't think he's happy about that. We'll talk about that a little bit with Mr. Santel coming up very, very shortly. I did want to address this just a little bit this morning because I think it's important, especially when people wonder, what can I do? I'm so frustrated, I'm worried, I'm concerned. What can I do to make a difference? This came out yesterday. Rich Kremer, excuse me, with the byline at Wisconsin Public Radio, headline reads, "Poll shows many don't know about Crawford or Schimmel in pivotal Wisconsin Supreme Court race." This according to the Marquette University Law School poll that came out yesterday. a majority of registered voters mm-hmm. in Wisconsin do not have an opinion yet about Susan Crawford or Brad Schimmel, and the election is April 1st.
Yes. It's 4 weeks.
4 weeks away. This is a critically important race.
Yeah.
If Brad Schimmel is elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, it will once again flip back to conservative control. We've only just gotten fairer maps mm-hmm. once Janet Protasiewicz was elected. If Brad Schimmel gets on there, I predict they will undo that.
Yes.
Almost immediately. Because they want to make sure they lock in those Republican seats so they don't actually have to face their constituents who might be unhappy with them.
Yeah, agreed.
Because that's what it does. If we go back to the old maps, this just insulates all lawmakers, essentially, Democrats too, from having to be accountable to their constituents because their seats are so safe, they don't have to respond.
Yeah.
That seems like a bad idea to me.
Well, I would say that, almost everything Brad Schimmel stands for is not a good idea because you take a 30,000 foot view of him, and it's not just the maps. It's his viewpoints on abortion.
1849 is great law. 1849 abortion ban is a great law, according to Brad Schimmel.
Quote, where's the flaw?
Where's the flaw?
19th century piece of legislation.
Before women could vote.
Yeah.
And by the way, he also has, he has the backing of Pro-Life Wisconsin, which doesn't want any exceptions for abortions, even the life of the mother. Please think about that for a moment.
And there's another aspect to him as well. His viewpoints on the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, he signed on when he was Attorney General mm-hmm. under Scott Walker. He signed on to a case in Texas trying to overturn the ACA, which is also known as Obamacare.
And so you have those three, abortion, you have legislative maps, and the ACA. Pile on top of that, who's funding him?
You know who really likes Brad Schimmel?
Who, Jane?
Elon Musk.
This guy? Jabba the Musk?
Elon Musk really, really likes Brad Schimmel. He's pouring in millions of dollars into Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
To make sure that Brad gets on the court. And this is my speculation.
Yeah.
Elon currently does not have any company-run Tesla dealerships in Wisconsin. There is a chance that this could come for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, ultimately.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be handy if Elon's guy was on the court? Should that case come before them?
With the powers of the court tipped in the balances of the right, I think that Brad Schimmel being in that position would just help them get, well, darn near everything they want to get.
I guess my point is, and we say this, and I know it might not feel like enough, but talk to people about what you know.
Yep.
Talk to people about what you know about these candidates. We got 4 weeks to inform people about mm-hmm. who they're going to be voting for.
Yes.
And personally, I don't think it should be based on how many yard signs you see, but that does sway people.
It does. And commercials.
Absolutely.
When Brad Schimmel is sandwiching his commercials around Susan Crawford commercials, and it's only going to get worse and worse and worse.
Absolutely.
With more money comes in, and not just from Elon. Diane Hendricks.
Oh, yeah.
The U-Lines. I mean, it is the usual suspects of millionaire and billionaire influencers here in Wisconsin for the right. They're pouring their money into these campaigns for a judge's race, which is going to be more expensive than, you know, the last race.
855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I just joined. Are you talking about the Marquette poll?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess Brad Schimmel is leading in the polls, and 58% of the Wisconsinites don't know enough about either candidate. How many years did we have stupid Schimmel as our district or our
AG
general?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, really, people, are your heads that deep in the sand? The man is vile and evil, and he's spent more of our taxpayer dollars on foolishness than you can shake a stick at, and 58% of the people just don't understand this stuff. No wonder we're in such trouble.
for God's sake.
But, you know, Cindy, we talk about this a lot. There are folks who have a lot going on in their lives, and being up on politics isn't their priority, and I'm not going to shame anybody for that. Yeah. That's why I am putting the onus upon us to help people understand within your circle what we're talking about here. Elon is... Brad Schimmel is Musk's boy.
Yes.
Is Elon Musk's boy. Brad Schimmel completely supports the 1849 abortion ban, which will kill women.
Yes.
It will kill women. Brad Schimmel, thank you for reminding me, Cindy, also spent, when he was attorney general, $10,000 of taxpayer money for these fancy schmancy commemorative coins, talking about how his office kicked ass every day. A good steward of taxpayer dollars.
And Charles Franklin, who runs the Marquette University poll, will be on Maggie Dawn Show today at 2 p.m. to talk about the breakdown.
So check that out as well. We have news coming up next. When we're back, Jim Santel will be here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-8582. That's 855-755-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, the deadline to register to vote via mail or online for the April 1st general election is next Wednesday, March 12th. If you don't know if you're registered, if you want to check, if you want to see what's on your ballot, just go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address, and everything you need will come up. It's really a great one-stop shop.
Yes.
Including in case you're ever inclined to call one of your representatives.
Jane, can I find phone numbers there?
You can find all the applicable phone numbers right there, and they love hearing from us.
Should I swear and be mean?
No.
Okay.
Don't. That's kind of the same rule we have for the show. If all you have are curse words and insults, then you have no argument. So, yeah, I wouldn't suggest that you do that, but I do encourage people to call.
Yeah.
And leave a message. Just let them know you're thinking of them. I think that's important.
Have a good day.
Have a good day. Thinking of you. Won't forget. All right. Joining us now from his somewhere in southeastern Wisconsin, and he is our friend and colleague who has a show on Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11 called Amicus, a Law Review. Jim Santel is here now for our new weekly spot. Thank you so much for carving out some time for us. You are still an acting attorney. You still actually do attorney things.
I do attorney stuff and court things and all of that fun stuff. And great to work on a number of different civil rights cases, human stuff. And we can chat about that sometime down the road. If I can jump right into Greg's comment about things we say on the air, note as well that this president on February 18th entered an executive order in which he claimed that, yes, the Federal Communications Commission is now under his exclusive control, that he states what the law is, and that this independent agency, previously created by our Congress, is now inside the Oval Office. A stunning thing. So, Greg, watch what you're saying, not only before, but especially now, because apparently the president is listening.
Well,
it's a stunning thing. I don't mean to make light of it at all. It is horrific.
And is he actually allowed to do that? This is mine now. I'm taking this agency now. It's mine.
That begs a question. Go on. I'm sorry, sir.
No. It does beg a lot of questions. And the answer is no.
Okay.
And yet, as we're going to talk, I think, in the next few moments here today and And every Thursday, which I'm very excited about, by the way, to be with you, we're going to talk about the challenges to that. And what do you do? Well, as to the FCC, as to these other agencies, he's likewise now brought apparently under the White House aegis here, the Federal Trade Communications, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the National Labor Relations Board, a part of the Federal Reserve that establishes our financial policy. What's going to happen is we're going to be running into court now, challenging all these things, and eventually leading up to the Supreme Court, which, again, as we're going to talk, is now weighing in on all this. Why are we doing this as Americans rather than focusing on things like education and environment and commercial policy and, yes, overseas international policy, healthcare, all those, labor, commerce, agriculture? But instead, we're running into court, getting judges, requiring judges to say almost across the board, unanimously, you can't do this, Mr. President. And that's the frustrating part about all of this.
Because it seems like, and it seems like to me that executive orders, in the sense of like the FCC is mine, that seems almost like a proclamation type of level. You're like, it's not really your day. You can say it's yours, but it's not yours. The FCC. But now what it does is instead of, it doesn't change anything other than you having to go to the courts and fight the executive order's language, which now just gums up our already slow-working court system.
Yes.
Takes time away from the work they should be doing on actual important things. But, like, I guess, because that's the thing is, like, everyone's freaking out about executive orders, and I'm wondering which ones are important and which ones do we say, English is the national language. Let's just focus on the important things.
Right. I think that's exactly right. And some of the judges are saying just that. That is, some of these do go to the core. And those that do go to the core fundamentally are addressing this basic issue, which we all learned, I think, in grade school. Maybe not. But the fundamental notion is Congress sets up all of these agencies. It's the Article 1 of our Constitution. It's the big one. Congress is the one that makes these decisions. They put it in place. They establish the rules. And as a part of our checks and balances, the president, yes, can make decisions in these areas. But the agencies then respond. The Congress responds. The courts respond. And when a president simply says, as Louis XIV did way back in the 17th century, here's some French this morning, right? L'état, c'est moi, right? Greg, you and I talked about
this
a number of weeks ago. When the president simply says, I am the law, which is what he said on February 18th, and you follow that, and if you don't, bad things are going to happen to you. That's when, once again, as we're always saying so consistently, we now have an authoritarian government inconsistent with our Constitution, the basic ways in which our government works.
There are so many different ways that this is problematic. And I've spent a lot of time, Jim, because again, one of Congress's main things is the power of the purse. That is their power. They control what money gets sent out, what gets appropriated where. So that is their big constitutional power. And I kept thinking about, if you are a member of the House, why would you cede that authority? That's the best thing you've got. That's your cudgel. That's your, you know, that's your thing. They can, I can only imagine that they are being promised that, well, if you just cede this power to the president, we're going to make sure you never have to run again. And essentially you'll never have to work another day in your life because you're never going to have to respond to your constituents.
Right. All you need to do is show up every so often at one of those House or the Senate buildings on either side of the Capitol will keep you there. And Shane, I could not have said it more. No one can say it better than you just did, which is you are elected by the people, whether it's of some of the districts in Wisconsin or one of the other 434 other districts around the country to represent them. If you make decisions, if you vote in certain ways and a majority of your voting constituents say no, all right. That's, again, a part of our process, and I recognize that power is a big thing, but that also affirms the fundamental notion that we do have a representative democracy. If you are ceding, as you just said, that authority given to you by your local constituents, and you go to Washington and say, you know what, I'm not going to do anything other than what the White House has told me to do, you're in violation of the oath that you took, you're in violation of the contract that you made with everyone who voted for you.
If you're just joining us, Jim Santel is our guest. He hosts Amicus Law Review Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. It's a wonderful program. You will learn so much. And in actual human speak, as opposed to just lawyer speak, which is a whole different language.
We try.
One of the reasons I wanted to have you on, Jim, this is from Esquire. The Supreme Court ruled against Trump, but it didn't stop Justice Alito from getting snotty. I love the headline. So Donald Trump did actually have a loss in front of the Supreme Court that happened this week.
Absolutely. And this is a big one. This is a big one. And the important reason it's so important, Jane and Greg and Calvin, that you address this for all your listeners is that this has got everything inside it, right? It's got the usurpation of authority by a president. It's got congressional action. It's got, again, snottiness. I would describe it as intellectual dishonesty. We'll talk about some of the language that Alito has used.
Yeah.
It's simply wrong. It's simply wrong. It's intellectually dishonest. It's got foreign policy. And yes, it also has the continuing emergence of Amy Coney Barrett distancing herself more and more. We've talked about a lot of this on your show in the past from her conservative allies. Watch her in the future and see what she does. She joins John Roberts in handing this defeat to the president.
When I saw that, I almost fell out of my chair. Seriously. And MAGA is up in arms now about Amy Coney Barrett. They are furious that she sided again with the liberals. But then John Roberts did too.
Which is nothing new for John Roberts.
Every once in a while he does something not nuts.
Right, right. That's a perfect way to describe it. Because I really do believe, as again, we've discussed in the past, I think every so often he wakes up and thinks, gosh, this is the Roberts Court. It's going to have my name on it for all time, history. And maybe on some of these really fundamental things, although, again, he is also the one that 8 months ago gave the president a pass on criminal activity. For which, just as an aside, have you heard about this hot mic at the State of the Union?
Yes.
The president walks over to John Roberts and says, thank you. We won't forget.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Quid pro quo right there in the wall, the halls of the Congress. But again, this is a situation where you've got maybe an emerging Supreme Court, maybe a little bit of the Chief Justice saying this is too far. And so he also, in a very brief order to get into the substance of this, this is what Donald Trump did, as he promised, on January 20th. He halts all programs, all monies for what we know as USAID. This is the foreign aid programs that does all sorts of things, medical care, food, businesses, commercial, disease prevention, political instability. When I was in Iraq, these are the folks who made things happen there to develop an institution, a new government. And Donald Trump comes in and again says horrifically, stopping all of that. Now, what happens is it goes to a judge named Amir Ali, who we've talked about before. He's in the Federal District Court in Washington, D.C. And Ali looks at this and says, first of all, again, no authority, no executive authority for the president to do this. And he orders that it all be stopped, or at least he enters what's called a TRO, a temporary restraining order, and again indicates, tells the president, knock it off. Get these funds flowing once again. And about $1.5 billion, the judge directs them to do that. And again, in the category of this event, this news story has everything. We've got the other major issue here, which is arguably moving toward a constitutional crisis. Because as Judge Ali said during the course of these initial proceedings, gets the attorneys back in and he says, what's going on? Why are you not following what I told you to do?
Yep.
The attorneys for the Department of Justice say, well, I can't. We've got some theories here that maybe your order didn't mean what it says. He says, no. He says, no. Do what I said or I'm going to find you in contempt. And it's then that the attorneys take this to the Supreme Court. John Roberts briefly suspends, stays everything that the judge has done. And then again, just yesterday, issues this 5-4 decision, just a paragraph. It's kind of convoluted because there's all this procedural history there,
right,
which I've somewhat glossed over. But in the end, he says, nope, the president needs to abide. At least he needs to follow the law. He sends it back to the judge and says, be a little bit more particular about what exactly you need for them to do. You should clarify what obligations the government must fulfill. the judge in this case, he will jump right on that. I'm sure he's on it today. And he will tell the attorneys once again, here's exactly what you need to do. Follow what I'm saying or else. And again, if Donald Trump says no, we do have that constitutional crisis afoot.
Well, and that leads to me, and we're going to come right up against the break, so we'll address this on the other side. What does that or else mean? Where does that or else take us, and what could happen if we get to that point? Jim Santel is our guest. He's host of Amicus, a law review across the network, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. We're going to continue our conversation. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. We are global if you have the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning.
Ooh.
Welcome back. To Matt and Air on here. I'm getting all Dave Brubeck-y, getting that jazz vibe.
Matt and Air in the air.
Welcome to Matt and Air on here. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Next hour at this time, we will be wrapping up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the All Things Must Pass Eventually edition. Stick around for this one. And if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays at civicmedia.us. We are joined by our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Saturdays from 9 to 11 in the morning across the network. Jim Santel is here. And right before we went to the break, we were talking about kind of this surprising decision by the Supreme Court, voting 5-4 to uphold a lower court ruling that will force Trump to release $2 billion in aid already approved for this USAID program. Right before we went to break, Jim, I asked, what if they don't do this? I mean, some of his advisors, and I can't think of which one off the top of my head, have already said, just ignore him. So the Supreme Court ruled this way. Just do it. Just do it.
Right. One of those advisors, and I think all three of us, all of your listeners probably would put advisors in quotes, is the Vice President of the United States of America, who Jane has said just that. He said, you know what? Presidents do not have to follow what mere federal judges say. No, you went to law school. Apparently you were sleeping through most of the constitutional law courses, Mr. Vice President, but you do have to follow that, and becomes relevant, Jane. And Greg, just because, again, Judge Ali said, I'm ordering you to do this. When they didn't do it, he called them back in. He said, you're not defying my order. You need to follow what we're doing. And the government comes back and says, well, we're looking at these contracts case by case. The judge interrupts him and says, no case by case analysis. You release the $2 billion. And he orders them basically by midnight of a day last week to put all this in place. And that, as you just said, is when we get to the Supreme Court. the question you raise is, now that we've got this order and we're going forward, do those same attorneys who said we don't need to follow what you're directing, Judge Ali, do they do what they say? And that is the premise. That's the predicate for a true constitutional crisis. We talk a lot about things being constitutional crisis. Watergate was not a constitutional crisis. Why? Because in the end, Richard Nixon complied with the order
right.
to release those tapes that spelled his doom. He followed the rule of law, and his presidency devolved after that. Here, we have now, for the first time in our history, a president and his advisors who may be saying, we don't need to follow that. And if that is the case, where do we go?
Right.
What is the next step? Mm. What is the next step? There is no further check on that, short of the people once again, like in South Korea and Israel before the Gaza war, taking to the streets and saying, we are not going to permit this to happen. That's what's looming. And that's why this story is so very important. That, of course, and including your favorite justice, Jane, Sam Alito, and the language there also speaks to this issue. He is, again, intellectual dishonesty, right? What he says is that he's got an 8-page dissent. You know, he thinks that does protest too much, an 8-page dissent in all this. And he says the law says the judge is requiring you to pay this $2 billion, not because the law requires it. Oh, yes.
It does.
The Congress said, you've got to do this. He said, but because a single district court judge ordered it. Well, that too. Now I wonder if you were sleeping through law school, Justice Alito. We have judges all the time who order things. They've taken up an appeal. Remember the judge in Northern Texas who ordered a nationwide ban on mifepristone?
Yes.
That was a singular judge.
Yes.
Now, that gets reversed for all sorts of reasons. But when he says it's intellectually dishonest to say it's not what the law requires. But here's the big one. He says it's judicial hubris. He's talking about his colleagues. That imposes a $2 billion penalty on American taxpayers. No. It's a penalty only if the budget of the United States of America and things that Congress does is a penalty. If you buy into that crazy language, then you're right, Mr. Associate Justice. But that's intellectually dishonest. And he knows it. He just plain knows it. And that's why this is so very frustrating.
I guess Alito snoozed through Yale Law School and just became a tax expert.
I think of Sam right. Alito missed his time in history. He should have been around for the Inquisition. He would have been great. That would have been, he would have been a happy guy, witch hunting and stuff.
Right. And he goes on to say, of course, that he's got this obligation to ensure that the power entrusted to federal judges is supported by the Constitution, that it's not abused. Judge Ali is not abusing anything, Mr. Associate Justice. You're the ones who, by encouraging defying of this order, are setting us on the course of a true constitutional disaster here. Judicial hubris? No. Judicial support. It is stunning, candidly, that all the justices of the Supreme Court are not voting in favor of supporting the lower court judge. The fact that we've got four of them who are still out there saying, yeah, this is okay. That should also be stunning for all your listeners. I know it is.
Check out Jim's show. It's fantastic. He's going to be joining us once a week, every Thursday at this time. Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. Thank you so much, Jim. Really appreciate it. News
Always a pleasure, Jane.
Is coming up next, and then we're going to talk dogs and Alzheimer's.
Okay.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's all on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.